number 31, Catherine Hall.
Yes, so, Chair, this is a request for an advisory opinion. I just need the commission to vote to extend it 60 days. The first 60 days will not reach the June 11th meeting. I plan on having it at the June 11th meeting, but I just need a little bit more time than I had when they asked it. I couldn't get it to this meeting. I need to go to the next meeting, and that's past the 60 days. So I don't plan on using the entire 60 days. In fact, it's only a few days of the 60 days to use.
Okay. Thanks for that. Commissioners, any questions for Director Burson on extending the timeline?
Hearing none, Mr. Chair, I will move that we accept the recommendation to extend the deadline on Commission Advisory Opinion 21-070A.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Any discussion on the motion? And a roll call vote.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Sortoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes 9-0.
And then we have two additional amendments to the agenda, 31A and 31B. We will you guys should have had those emailed to you. We'll go with 31A first.
Thank you, Chair Mason. This is a memorandum in which we are asking that the matter of Angela Adams, case number 21-041 ELC. This was a matter heard in executive session today. The matter was moved to investigation, and we are asking at this time that the investigative phase of the case be suspended as allowed by statute. The reason for that is this is a matter pending in criminal court. The matter has not yet even been set for trial in Linn County Circuit Court, so we're asking that the matter be suspended while the criminal charges are pending. Thank you.
Any questions for the investigator on this matter? Seeing none?
Mr. Chair, hearing none, I will move to agree with the staff that we suspend the investigation phase for matters involving Ms. Angela Adams, item number 31A on our April 30th regular session agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Sortoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes 9-0.
Next item, 31B, memorandum to suspend investigation phase.
Thank you, Chair Mason. This is a memorandum regarding the matter of Armando Pedroza, case number 21-042 ELC. Again, we are asking that this matter be suspended pending the outcome of a criminal matter related to and based on the same allegations as contained in our preliminary review report. We are asking that it be suspended pending the outcome of criminal charges. And again, I would just like to point out to the commission again that at present, Mr. Pedroza, there was a police report indicating that there are charges pending against Mr. Pedroza. He has not been formally charged or indicted in court. But again, we need to have it suspended while there are concurrent criminal cases pending.
Thank you. Any questions for investigator?
Mr. Chair, in light of the pending criminal matters involving Mr. Armando Pedroza, I will move that we suspend the investigation phase pending the outcome of those criminal proceedings, item 31B on our April 30th regular session agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Any discussion on the motion? And a roll call vote.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
He's right there.
Okay.
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Commissioner Sortoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes 9-0.
Okay, we'll go to number 32, which is Treasury Policy Review. And we have David Elliott with us.
Yeah, Chair Mason, Commissioners.
David Elod is the Treasury's legal counsel and he's here today. State agencies may adopt policies interpreting the provisions of ORS Chapter 244 as long as those policies are consistent with the laws. When an agency submits their policies to the Commission for review and approval, revisions and corrections go back and forth between the Commission staff, the Commission's attorney, and the agency. We received these policies from the Office of Treasury way back in the before times, prior to COVID, and revisions have been traded back and forth since then, spanning the tenure of two different commission attorneys. The resulting policies in the meeting book have been vetted for legal sufficiency by our current attorney, Mr. Nasby, and under ORS 244.165, the commission must vote to either approve or reject these policies. The effect of the commission's approval would be that the commission could not impose a penalty on any Treasury employee or Treasury elected official for any good faith action undertaken in compliance with the Treasury's policy.
Thank you for that report. And do we have the representative from the Treasury with us?
Mr. Ellett.
Mr. Ellett, you are muted and the floor is yours.
I don't know that I have anything to add other than the fact that the policy has been thoroughly reviewed and vetted with the Department of Justice attorney, and those concerns that were addressed as part of that review process, I think were addressed. But the policy, part of the reason that the Treasury is asking for the approval of the policy by the Commission is that Treasury staff operate in an environment that is unusual in many respects and not typical of other public officials. And so we're hoping through our policy to provide fairly specific guidance to our staff on what is permitted and is not permitted. And we are looking to the safe harbor that Commission approval of the policy would provide.
Thank you for that. Any questions from commissioners for staff?
I just had a comment. Isn't it true that we've had some policies that have been approved by Treasury in the past?
Yes, we have.
So this is an update.
This is an update. They're updated.
Yes, because I remember working with Pete Shepard on that years ago. So, again, they have some in place right now. This is an update.
Got it.
Are there any other state agencies, Mr. Director, that have such policies which the commission our commission has reviewed in past? This is the first I've seen of this.
I believe there is. It was used a lot more. It came out, I believe, I want to say in the 7 or the 9 session. It was used pretty extensively then. Remember, it's not just state agencies. It's also statewide organizations that have asked for it. And so I know that we approved some back then. This is just, like I said, it's an update. But we don't have the state agencies take advantage of this as much, and I think the reason Treasury said they're maybe more involved is because some of the things that happen, especially in the investment world, may be a little different than what normal state employees might see.
Mr. Chair, just a comment and a question further. Do we view the existence, the formulation of such policies as being a virtue, a good thing, or are we neutral until we receive them?
No, I think it's a good thing. I think it's like anybody else asking our advice. They're trying to proactively go out and make sure that what they're showing their employees is in line with our statutes. So I look at it as a positive thing.
Last comment I would make, which is a friendly one, it doesn't have to be resolved at this moment to state the obvious, but with all due respect to the Treasury's comments, which I appreciate and I understand what Treasury Department staff, given my background in state government, are involved in, the thought quickly crosses my mind that perhaps staff in what I used to call the Economic Development Department, now Business Oregon, I think they might benefit from a similar kind of review done at Business Oregon for our review. Okay. I'm not sure we need to walk off and try to generate that, but I think that some of the staff at Business Oregon would be involved in similar transactions to Treasury. Not the same, obviously, but similar.
Anyway, enough said.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiskum. Any other commissioners for comment or questions? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
I'm happy to make a motion. What is the proper form of the motion, Mr. Director?
That the commission approves the Treasury's policies as submitted.
That said, I will make a motion that the commission approve the Treasury policy review as presented to us, item number 32 on our April 30th regular session agenda.
Any discussion on the motion from commissioners? Seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Sortoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner O'Day?
Aye.
Commissioner Sosa?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes 9-0.
Final two items, trainer's report.
Okay. So, Chair Mason and Commissioners, in your meeting materials, you will find a training report that reflects the training that has taken place since March, the March Commission meeting, and you'll see the May and June webinar calendars. Those calendars do not just include the general webinars that we hold monthly, but also include offerings for the SEI filer sessions that were offered during SEI filing season. And in addition, you will find the spring newsletter within your materials. So as part of gearing up for the SEI filing season, we reviewed and updated, of course, all of our instructional resources, written materials, and online webinars relating to SEI filer requirements and reporting. And so we were prepared for any questions and to provide any assistance that was needed during that time frame. So in addition to all the instructional handbooks and the guides and all of the tutorials that were available, Becky and myself, we offered several training sessions that covered those SEI filing requirements and reporting. The sessions included providing a detailed step-by-step tutorial on the electronic filing system and how to file that report, how to set up your initial profile, of course, as well as how and what needs to be provided in that SEI report. Many individuals did sign up for all those sessions, and they ran about an hour to an hour and a half in length, and they went very well. As far as additional notes, per the information provided on your trainer's report in the materials, you'll see that we conducted training in a wide variety for a wide variety of audiences, and we continue to see kind of an uptick in the training that is requested. So I know we had some lag there when COVID first started, and now we have an uptick, and we're offering a lot more virtual training. So back on track with that. You'll also notice on the trainer's report that Jefferson County reached out to us and requested several training sessions in which we have conducted the majority of those. We have one more session that is left. Jefferson County also asked for, they booked with us through 2022 quarterly training sessions as part of their new employee orientation. So we have them on a quarterly basis to provide training to. As far as the upcoming conferences, you may recall that the DAS Enterprise Goods and Services Department was a carryover from last year with COVID. They have rescheduled several times for in-person training and have now decided to do a virtual training. So that is coming up in late May. So other than that, are there any questions regarding the training report?
Mr. Chair, not a question. I would just like to compliment you on the production of the newsletter. I think it's a good job. I read it. I hope it gets read by many others, so I appreciate that. That's a, quote, new thing, unquote, in my judgment, is it not? A couple, two or three times now. So thank you for doing that. All those who are responsible for it, it's a good piece of work. Thank you.
That's excellent. One comment. It would be interesting to see, like, based on, like, the how broad the audit, you know, gets pushed out to people, like how much training requests come in as a result of you know, that broad, you know, we always come across, you know, some of these local officials don't even have an idea that there's
that's
an ethics commission. And so knowing that that training is available, I think that would be interesting to track. Thank you. Executive Director Burson.
Okay. So just real quick, the 1921 biennial budget, we currently have a surplus of $210,534. So we probably will not run over this biennium. I thought we could do that with my eyes closed, not make that big a mistake. But it's actually, we've done a really good job of saving some money here. That surplus basically goes into our ending balance, which just reduces the amount of assessments we have to assess in the next biennium. So it does save the people that pay our assessments money in the next biennium. So it is important to, you know, run this agency not just inside the limitation, but run it as well as you can to try to keep our keep below that limitation line that is set for us by the legislature. So as far as the new budget, the 21-23 budget, since I actually did the report, we actually did hold a work session on Wednesday of this week, and it received a unanimous vote with a due pass recommendation to the full Ways and Means. And so so it has been worked now, so it'll go full Ways and Means, and then it'll go to the floors at the end of session bills. So the last place we were at, the recommended budget is actually a little higher than what I have in here. It's $3,323,513 with all nine positions being funded. So very pleased about the 21-23 budget. Right now, they haven't really been talking about any fund sweeps that are going to come about. I think the federal funds helped with that for general fund agencies that are out there. So budget-wise, we're doing very well. So now our bills, they did pass out of the Senate. They all passed with bipartisan support. 60 had a vote of 21-7. The other three had votes of 28-0 by the Senate. And so they were over on the Speaker's desk, and actually now they have been referred to rules. And so I've asked Commissioner Fiskum to try to help me, because in this new environment of not being able to go over and camp out at the Capitol and just, you know, just bother somebody long enough to get yourself a hearing, you know, sending emails, leaving messages, things like that. I just wanted a little bit of help from Commissioner Fiskum, so I asked him the other day if he could help out in trying to get those scheduled for a hearing. So they're all waiting at House Rules. I will say that the rules, they really haven't looked at any Senate bills yet, so I'm not really worried about us getting a hearing, but I feel better if we heard from the chair or the vice chair of the Rules Committee or the committee administrator on what their plans are to hear those bills. And as you know, after sending you the audit report, which I'll talk about in just a second, two of those bills are actually spelled out by the Secretary of State's Audit Division. So not only do we have bipartisan support in the Senate, but we also have the Secretary of State at least pushing two out of the four bills for this agency. So I think we have an excellent chance of getting those hearings.
Let me just amplify quickly. Our executive director has done a great job of advocating for these bills in an appropriate way as a state agency head, obviously with the approval of the governor. The bills are, in their character, nonpartisan. In their character, they are non-controversial given the votes in committee on the Senate as well as Senate floor. They represent what I have called targeted improvements in Oregon's already strong ethics laws. So procedurally, I suspect that we're not going to get hearings, have not got this confirmed yet, pursuant to Mr. Burson's request of me, which I appreciated. But the likelihood is these are not going to get approved for a little while the House Rules Committee keeps spewing out House bills, these being Senate bills. By the way, the deadlines for consideration of bills this session do not apply to either Senate or House Rules or Revenue Committee or Ways and Means. So the deadlines that exist at the Capitol don't apply to quote, us, unquote. Anyway, Mr. Burston, thanks for your request. It's easy to respond because all we're doing, anybody's doing these days, is responding virtually because on-site contact isn't occurring. Thank you.
So I'll keep everybody updated. I've been trying to email people when I know something's happened and give you that information as I know it. So I'll keep doing that. So moving ahead to statements of economic interest, I have a number here. At the time I actually did this report, there was 550 non-filers. I asked the staff this morning before the meeting where we were at. We're actually at 367 non-filers right now, so that's a reduction of 183 from the time I did this report to the now, and that's really a reflection of the hard work they have done calling people and getting them filed in the system. So we're making great effort. I hope that we get everybody filed before we start actually accruing penalties. We're still in what do they call that?
Grace period.
There you go. That's what they are. By the way, you guys don't have any grace period. It's by 4:15, just so you know. Neither do I, though. I'm not going to be late. But anyway, the staff is really working hard to get those statements of economic interest in.
You think that's because you have a lot of new public officials that were elected in 2020, and this might be the first part of the first time some of them are doing that? That's why the number's so big at this point?
Well, you know, I know it sounds big, but in years past, this is actually very small compared to years past. So we're really kind of ahead of the game. Normally, we have about 6,000 filers, and, you know, it's normally about, you know, 1,000, 1,500 that actually start getting penalties in the grace period. But Dave and Kathy have really spent a lot of time calling people, trying to keep them from getting penalties and helping them file over the phone. So far, we haven't heard anybody that says, I'm not filing kind of thing. So,
Mr. Director, I have a quick question. You don't have to answer this for the record unless you want to. Do 9 of your favorite commissioners all have their SEIs in?
I will say that is true.
Thank
yes.
you very much.
I have not had a year that I've been the director here that has not happened.
Thank you.
So
I
will work very hard to make sure that our commissioners are filed timely.
Commissioner Hollister.
I just wanted to say that I was a little missed that Commissioner O'Day beat me on filing the
FBI.
I'm going to get him next year.
Well, that's great. We can make it a contest. That's nice.
Oh, yeah.
I usually beat all of you, though, so I do it right off the bat in the morning to make sure the system's working. On the 15th, I will tell you that. But anyway, so now on to the audit. So the audit is scheduled to come out on Monday. That's the last I heard from the audit division. I did send it to you folks. I also sent a copy of our letter to the state's auditor on the 14 recommendations they have. Quite frankly, 9 of those recommendations take legislative action. As far as the ones that don't, we're either working on them or they have been completed already. I think in the letter we talked about, what was it, 6:30? Everything should be completed by then. I also put in the letter, I felt as though the auditors were solving some or had some solutions that I didn't see that were really problems.
Yeah.
So you can kind of, my tone is a little bit, I'm a little surprised that we're talking about some of these things, but this was a performance audit that started in the summer of 2019, so we've been going through it for almost 2 years, and so I'm really proud of not only the commissioners themselves and the staff here, because I will tell you, these ladies and gentlemen dug hard to try to find ways to improve our performance. And really the ways that they think it can be improved, really most of them take statutory changes that are out there. And some of them are quite dramatic statutory changes as far as I was concerned.
Is there anything specific that triggered the audit in 2019?
You know, we were not scheduled to have an audit. All I was told by the auditors at the time was is they found some time to have an audit, and so they chose us. So,
Our knowledge, me as an outsider compared to Mr. Burson, there was no complaint that generated this audit as is set of complaints, as is sometimes the case with Secretary of State audits. And if I'm wrong in that, I apologize. That's my understanding. And that's a question I asked when I was interviewed, among others, a few months ago now.
Yeah. So we're simply waiting for the press release that comes out on Monday, and we'll see where that goes there. But it should be completed. I believe the final draft, like I said, I've given it to you. I've got no indication from the audits division that draft is going to be changed in any way. So, like I said, even when we talked about outside counsel, the commission having to get the auditors say the commission has to get approval from DOJ, but we actually have a statute that says we can approve that outside counsel. And we don't use them very often. You saw recently we used them in one case if the Department of Justice is actually conflicted. But and even after pointing out that statute, it's still in the audit report. So I don't agree with everything.
I was going to say the details that they put in that audit about using the use of the attorney with the Department of Justice and the conflicts that it might create based on was interesting.
Yeah.
Commentary.
Yeah. Well, that would be a major departure. I mean, no state, all state agencies are required to use the Department of Justice, and so that would be a, kind of a big departure from that. But anyway, so you have it out there. I'm happy to talk about it. They're still wanting to be confidential, but like I was telling the folks in here, you know, I am not going to have an audit come out on Monday and have a meeting with you folks on Friday and not tell you that this audit's coming out. So it is out in public as far as I'm concerned, because I'm making it public right now. So anyway.
And they didn't bring anything to you that they were going to highlight as part of, their press release or anything along those lines?
I think when they're talking about press release, they're just talking about, like, you see the emails come out that they have their title, and they just basically put the audit out with our letter. It should be published with our letter, too. So. And we kind of broke the rules in the letter. You're supposed to agree or disagree with the recommendations, but we went neutral on the ones that, the governor has not given me the authority to have a legislative concept on. So, okay. So, the COVID-19, I will tell you that all of the employees, I actually am not supposed to say that, am I? Well, anyway. We're safer now. I'll just say we're safer. So the motion to dismiss on the Nasbita case, it was heard in court. We're just waiting on the decision of the judge. I will tell you that the judge was very receptive to our arguments and less receptive to the plaintiff's arguments. So I'm hoping for good things in a decision from Multnomah County Court. You saw we got a second spring newsletter out. By the way, the next line, the lobbyists, that has also changed. Kathy brought it over to me the other day. We're actually at zero lobbyists for first quarter 21 that have not filed, and we're down to two clients that have not filed.
That's
so
really good.
That's really
incredible in light of the past.
Yeah. And we received the chief financial officer's honor roll certificate again. You know, I make fun of this every time, but I actually look forward to it because it means like we pay all our bills on time and we're not late. So I give it to you folks for reassurance that I'm not hoarding the money around here.
Be interested to know what agencies are not getting that certificate and whether.
Well, I think they actually printed out a one that they listed that. But
we're good. You're on that list. Though.
Anyway, we're on that list all the time because we get that done. So I also want to say that Kathy just received an employee recognition award from the governor's office for all of her hard work that she's done here. In the past, you got to usually go meet the governor at the governor's mansion, but with COVID, I think it's going to be more of a virtual call, but that still does not depreciate the award itself, the work that she's done in getting these people filed. I wanted to say that the state has planning to open back up on September 1st right now. However, I would tell commissioners that I think even after September 1st that the option of attending virtually will still be out there for you. So we will still have this same setup, but that's the date the state is looking at right now. The other thing is Becky has accepted the promotion, well, this is it, into Virginia's position. She's asked me the other day what we're supposed to call it. I said, I don't know. He called Virginia's position. So, but we'll come up with a name.
Congratulations and condolences.
But if somebody could have maybe Virginia come in.
Yeah.
And so.
Congratulations and condolences, Fiscom says.
Yeah, it's a tough job. Helping me every day is a tough job, but I want you guys just to take a second or two. I'm going to ask Virginia to come in here. This is her last day. She has been with the agency since 1993. That's 27 years.
When was your first day?
I was in 2006, so I'm a child.
She said she was leaving at noon.
She ran the other way.
Yeah, I figured she would. She said she was leaving at noon.
Send Diane out with her shoe.
Oh, I can go corral her.
Tackle her.
She doesn't want to come in, I don't think.
Probably.
She just went down to her office. I think she's on her way back. David's going to grab her on the way back.
Grab her, good. Tell David to get her in here.
Here we go.
It's a sneezing effect here.
So it's very unusual for an employee to be with an agency that long, you know, 27 years. And like I said, I attribute a lot of my success, in fact, probably most of my success, to Virginia. I mean, from day one, she's done nothing but take care of me and keep me organized. And what is the rule? You don't give me any original documents.
Original. No.
Yeah, don't give me any original documents. Just mark it copy. But anyway, you know, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart all the work that you've done.
Thank you. Thank
well,
you
and I speak as somebody who sat under Virginia's regulatory authority for some years.
We spoke on the phone many times.
Including when my firm, through no fault of my own, committed a violation, and I had to sit here with Virginia and pay a fine, which was a good thing, actually, a good learning experience, seriously. So, Virginia, this couldn't have happened without you, and I say that as both a regulated and now a non-regulated person. We'll miss you greatly, but thank you for all your service.
Thank you very much. It does take a village, though, so thank I'm you. Certainly That's not
yeah. well,
in this alone.
So tomorrow, will this agency still be here?
Certainly, and it will continue.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
Yeah, I never intended to stay in one place so long. That just still boggles me that I did that. But you know, it's said that you should work at something that you enjoy, and so when I landed here, I kind of fell into my little niche that I didn't know I was going to enjoy so much. But it just good work, important work, and the people that I've worked with have been fantastic. I need to give huge kudos to Ron for the last 15 years of this, in that he's allowed me to be myself in that job, and we've managed to get it all done. Well, let me be my nerdish self and play with the numbers and have fun. Yeah. So, and I didn't count them up exactly, but I think I have known about 90 different commission members.
I'm sure that's true.
Wow.
Probably true.
So, and learned something from everyone. We all have. And
even Nathan?
Yeah.
This is your favorite group, though, right?
That you got. Yeah.
That's
right.
Yeah.
And we have a staff that all works very well together. We have just a fabulous team, so that just makes my work a whole lot easier. So it's been great. It's been great that it's time. It's time to get on the road, go see some of this country, and enjoy while we're still upright.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And if we can get a statue built out front, you know, we'll be advocating for that big time. Virginia building.
That's good. Virginia building.
I might have Jack, but then, yeah.
I hear we have a surplus.
Yeah. We're going to spend those federal monies properly. On a statue for her outside. Right.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah, I think not.
Well, thank you all very much for your kind words.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is this
commissioner's last meeting?
Oh, yeah.
I hope so. I only say that because I've been asked several times by Commissioner Sosa, like, what are they doing for this? And so I work this thing all the time, and so, you know, I'm really not like holding it back because I don't want to see him go, but I do want to make sure that if this is his last, that he also gets recognized for the work that he's done. So you get something other than a bill in the mail, Nathan. So something more fun in the mail. But
well, I mean, I guess that is official. When you see the plaque, that's official. That's a
plaque. You gotta go. You gotta go, Nathan.
I'm official. I got my.
So that may be what it takes for the House Democrats, for me to get through. But you know, you did an excellent job in these years that you've been here. I appreciate you being the chair. You did a ton of help, and like I said, you're always a kind of a voice of reason on these
except when you're wrong, Nathan, but
yeah, well, we won't go into that.
I'm kidding,
anyway, I sure appreciated your time on the commission. I know the staff here, we really loved working with you, and we hope you don't become a stranger, you know, but like I said, I'm trying my hardest to get somebody to get to replace. I hope it still happens in this session, but I appreciate you hanging with us until we do get you replaced. And Mr. Starr, we're working on you too. I will tell you that in my budget workshop the other day, Rep. Wilde asked me, he says, hey, we don't have enough geographical diversity on the commission. It's right down the valley. And I said, well, there's an opportunity right now to find either a House Democrat or a Senate Republican that is in some other part of the state other than the valley here. And he says, oh, so it's on us. It's like, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
So hopefully they'll light a little fire and meet them too.
That's
so
good.
Well, I'll say, Commissioner Sosa, you've been great. You've been a great example to learn from as chair. I mean, you obviously made it a lot easier, you know, watching you do it. And but it's been great serving with you for the last 4 years. You know, and wishing you the best. Hillsborough alumni, you know, Ethics Commission member.
That's right.
Ditto, Nate.
Thank you all so much. It has really been such an amazing experience working with everybody on this commission. I mean, all of my colleagues from the time I started until now. It always was a great source of comfort to me that no matter how partisan and nasty things got, you know, in the political realm, that this commission really showed me that folks from all different backgrounds can come together and can do great work together and really enjoy each other's company and do the public's work. So I just want to thank everybody on the commission and for just being the amazing people that you are, and thank you all so much.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Okay, with that, Chair,
all right,
don't
meeting adjourned.
Where to go? You don't need a motion, do you?
Nope.
No.